You're listening to Minds of Forestry by Tyler Dennis. Welcome back to another episode of Minds of Forestry. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about layout basics and just generally how layout goes in the field and how I go about laying out. It's not an easy task whenever you are laying out, but I guess I'm going to try to walk you through some of the basics and just the kind of the fundamentals and what makes you a decent layout person and how we're going to achieve that. The biggest thing about layout is just knowing the wood around you, getting used to seeing small timber types, bigger timber types, and just being able to distinguish in between the two types. There's multiple types that you can get whenever you're out in the field. There's big, there's small, there's green, there's dead. There's lots of factors that go into laying out timber and how to perceive that area. I mean, ideally, when you go in to lay out an area, the area has already been checked. It's already been, so essentially timber recce is what you do beforehand, before you go in and decide to do any layout. We're going to get into timber recce in a future episode, so I'm not going to go too much into depth about timber recce in this episode. But ideally, you're going to have reports from past field crew members in that area and or yourself, depending on what level of skill you have to this point. And you're going to be able to distinguish the specific areas among the timber or the trees with these reports, so you can look them over and just get a general idea like what you're looking at and what the client that you're laying this stuff out is looking for. And it comes right down to just knowing where to begin and where to stop. Sometimes it's difficult to find a starting point, but I guess when you get people who are new to the job, new to doing layout, and just that kind of general idea. So in my experience, what I've done with people who are new, I put them on what's called a right-of-way area. So that means there's no timber on one side being because it's next to a road. It's the right-of-way of a road. And I'll have them lay out from that edge of the right-of-way where timber meets timber, going along the right-of-way until they reach timber again. And that the reason I do that is to just get them used to seeing the timber, like what to hang on, like boundary area. And then if I'm going to be working with them for an extended period of time, I will take over and I will start laying out within the timber, showing them and making sure that they're asking many, many questions about what we're seeing, what we're looking at. Because ideally, there's no dumb questions when it comes to layout, because you have to take everything into account. Regardless if you're a rookie, just beginning in your forestry career, or you're a seasoned vet of, let's say, 10 years, it always helps to ask questions. Because if you have, let's say, another crew laying out in that area, it never hurts to ask them what they're seeing, because ideally, you're going to end up trying to meet them in the end anyway, so you kind of want to make sure you're following the same types and whatnot. So, again, just kind of going back into like a basic is just acknowledging what you're going to be taking. Is it big timber? Is it small timber? Kind of go through that with whom is in the area, whether that be a crew lead, supervisor, and or partner. And then from that point, you just kind of once you're kind of immersed into the field aspect of layout, because everything looks good on paper. That's one thing that I'm going to say, is everything looks fantastic on paper. You can say, yeah, the boundaries are going to go in this area. But when you actually get to the field and you go to apply the boundary to the actual timber, things change fast. And it can change within 100 meters. It can change within 20 meters. It depends on like the area. So one thing that I kind of go by is when I'm taking my time and I'm going through the timber as I lay out, I'll stop and I will take a walk. I will walk 100 to 150 meters to see if the timber stays the same or if it changes. So that's because if I'm going to be walking into an area that I don't know or that I've never been to, doing that extra little walk helps me identify the air, the timber within that type. If I'm going to follow the same type or if I'm going to veer in a different direction to continue taking the, let's say we're taking mostly lodgepole pine. And so that's going to be my main priority, is looking for that lodgepole pine, whether it be dead, whether it be green. It all depends on what the specs are for that. So again, just kind of going into, looking at your types, looking at your timber, and going from that point and just continue on. If you're essentially GPSing, if you're a person who's GPSing behind a layout person, you're going to want to stop and actually look at what they're doing, for what their timber types are. That's how I learned a lot of what I do, is when I first started out and I was GPSing, I would look at the types, I would look at the timber, I would look at the seams of open area. I would be looking at all of this, trying to decide, maybe they should go this way, maybe they should go that way. It never hurts to actually sit down and look at everything. Take your time. You're not going to get lost because you have a boundary line to follow. You're going to have radios. I hope you have radios. But that's a big basic thing within boundary layout, is observing everything around you, taking in everything, looking at everything, including the ground, the wetness of the ground, because you have different ecotypes. That's another thing I'm probably going to get into, but I want to save that for a different episode. But boundary layout, it kind of comes right down to the bare minimum of, are the trees good? Are the trees bad? And just kind of your own mindset and how that's going to be. A big question that I always get asked when I'm laying out and I have a rookie behind me is, how do I know the type is consistent with what I'm looking at? And my answer to them is always, I have no clue. I have no clue if it's consistent. I'm just going with what I see. And so there's some concepts that I'm going to touch base on. So there's knowing what you're laying out, and then there's timber chasing. So when you're looking at timber and you know what you're taking, you can see plain as day where your line is. I'm going to take this green/dead stand of lodgepole pine. And you're just going to continue following that seam until it becomes either spruce and or balsam, depending what your types are in the area. So, and then you get your concept of timber chasing. So that's where you're looking up, you're seeing lots of timber, but then all of a sudden it becomes sparse. And next thing you know, you're veering off in a direction because you see a clump of timber. You're like, oh, that timber looks like it should be in this block. But ideally, when you're timber chasing, you're making fingers, you're making nubs that aren't operational for machines. And it's never good to have those, because for all you know, the machines can trespass in that area, or they're just not going to be able to get the machines in because the boundary is so narrow. So try to stick to knowing what you're looking at. I mean, you can timber chase sometimes. This isn't a do and don't do podcast. This is just a general insight, like the basics of what layout is. Another topic on layout is looking ahead, like looking at the trees, and talked about looking, like walking ahead, looking at the types. This is different. So looking up at the treetops, you can really identify the type changes and type differences when you're looking at the treetops. If you're going after dead lodgepole pine and you're looking at the treetops and all of a sudden you start seeing green tops, you know that you might have gone too far. You might have not seen the type change. So it never hurts to look up and essentially just make sure you're aware of your surroundings. A lot of the lodgepole pine where I work is on the ground. So when I'm looking up, I do see a lot of green trees, but at the same time, I'm looking up to see if the type change is different. If I start seeing more dead pine in a certain area, if I'm going to veer over and grab that. So do a little bit of timber chasing. There's nothing wrong with just kind of following what you're seeing. So, I mean, the do's and don't do's of layout are mainly just don't take stuff that you don't think is viable, that's takeable. It's anything that's too small is just going to get thrown in a burn pile and it's going to go to waste. Your do's, there's lots of do's and don'ts, but I mean, it comes with experience. It comes with being out there and looking at this type, looking at this area. Like, no area is the same. I've done quite a fair amount of layout in the four seasons that I've been working with within forestry, and it nothing's ever the same. I've laid out spruce patches, I've laid out Douglas fir, you name it. I've been all over the map, but every time I go into laying out, my main question is, what am I looking for? What species am I looking for? Timber types and slope averages. So if it's operational, if there's anything that I should be concerned about. And these are all things that you can get from your supervisor, hopefully from your supervisor and or your crew lead. Asking the main questions is a big, big, big factor into laying out and making sure you're laying out according to what your skill level is. If you don't feel comfortable laying out, then it's always something to bring up and say you don't feel comfortable. And biggest thing that I experience within layout is just how much I've struggled looking in between timber types sometimes. Sometimes it changes so fast and so drastically that it's noticeable, or you get to points where it changes subtly and you don't notice it until you're 100 to 200 meters in the opposite direction of where you're supposed to be going. So I'm not perfect when it comes to layout, and I'm not saying that anyone is, but at the same time, it always helps to just take a sit down, find a nice log or a stump to sit on, and just take a breather, look at the sky, look at what you're looking at, and take a walk. Hang a ribbon, take a waypoint on your Garmin or your GPS, and just take a walk. Don't get frustrated, because that's usually where people make mistakes, is when you get frustrated. Boundary layout is a mind task, essentially. You're always going to be thinking about the next spot, the next tree. What's it going to look like in the end? There's lots of things to take into consideration when it comes to the mind aspect of laying out. Like, a lot of people will go into it like, oh yeah, I'm just laying out trees. I can just take whatever I want and it'll be fine. But then you get the next guy who's thinking about it like 9 out of 10 times. They're thinking, is the other guy going to meet me in the same spot? Am I going to veer off track? Or am I going to take more or less? There's lots of things to consider, and a big, big thing is just to make sure you go into it with a clear mind, and never hesitate to sit down, take a break, and just look at what's around you. I mean, it's a big, big, big thing. So, I'm going to end that concept there, and we're going to go into something else. A couple of more topics that I want to bring up in this segment of layout and just the basics is the fact of buffer zones and special management areas. Now, these are two things that kind of get people that catch them off guard because they think that they can just go out and lay out everything and everything's going to be fine. But I mean, when it really comes down to it, buffer zones and your special management areas is what's going to get you nicked in the butt on the final aspect of the block. So your buffer zones are from like wetlands, streams, cultural areas, like wildlife trees, heritage trees. There's lots of things to consider when you're doing buffer zones. Now, the biggest buffer zone that I deal with is mainly with streams and wetlands, and that's making sure that we're X amount of meters off of these areas. So when we're trying to stay off of these buffer zones, if we're dealing with, let's say, an S3 stream, and we need to be 33 meters off of this stream because of the classification specs, we have to abide by that ruling because it's government officiated. If we are less than 33 meters off of that stream, so it's the bank of the stream, we can get penalized. The company that I work for would get penalized for that. And it comes right down to making sure that when you're doing these areas that you're not slacking off, you're not just doing it because, oh, I'm just told to do it and I don't want to do it. You never know how it's going to be. I always add a little bit extra on these buffer areas just to make sure that they stay wind firm, and that way nothing falls over or the timber doesn't fall into the stream, because then it just causes more havoc on the potential habitat in the area. Special management areas comes in the form of moose habitat, caribou habitat, stuff like that. So biggest thing that I deal with up here is moose habitat, and we're starting to get into some area with caribou management, so ungulate areas. And so with the special harvest areas, we have to make sure that we're leaving a screening or a screen along any roadway, so that way these animals have a dash distance, so that way they can hide from natural predators and humans themselves, because humans are predators of these animals. And I mean, when it really comes right down to it, this special management area, it's a good thing to get. Like I don't agree with selectively harvesting these areas unless there's a big regenerative area for timber. But at the same time, you're gonna crush everything within that area, and it's not going to grow back until a year, maybe 2 years later within brush, and that's never good. So these special management areas, I think they can be touched up a bit. It's usually a 20 meter area from the roadside, so the right of way, and I prefer to do it as a hard buffer, so that way these machines aren't taking anything from that 20 meters, so that way it acts as a wind firm area for these animals to go in. And it also acts as a screen, so that way when you're driving by, these moose or caribou or deer have an area to hide whenever they are sitting or whenever they're just kind of in the area. One thing that I didn't mention is that these buffer areas and special harvest areas or special management areas, they're also dictated by local First Nations and to be abided by, so that way no conflict is brought upon them, because we're getting into an age where animal habitat's getting sparse, and we're just trying to take everything for granted, and that's not good. So ideally, when you're doing layout, you're taking the best consideration for everything. My mindset when I do layout is I always think about the animals. I don't think about the client and the timber end of things. I think about what are the animals in the area going to need to protect themselves from predators. And I never hesitate to give more of a buffer or a special management area than needed, so that way these animals are able to protect themselves. I know it sounds hippie-ish or like activist, but it's not meant to sound like that. It's just, without animals, the ecosystem could fall or be tipped in a way that it's not meant to be. I'd rather see more moose and caribou than I would wolves and other predators. So that's a little bit about what the basics of boundary are. I'm pretty sure there's more that I could have talked about, but that's just everything off the top of my head right now. And with that being said, I just want to take this moment to tell everyone I appreciate you for listening into this podcast. It means a lot to me. If you give it a share, thank you so much. Refer me to a friend or reach out to me if you want to be part of the podcast. I've been your host, Tyler Dennis, and you just listened to Minds of Forestry.